Hello and welcome to the Sales Technology Training Program call today. This is Rick Cooper. Thanks for joining me. It's Thanksgiving week and I'm glad that you're with me today, or if you're listening in to the recording of this call. Today's call will include 30 minutes of content and 30 minutes of Q&A. Got a lot of great tips and strategies that I'm going to share with you today. And you can check your email for a copy of the notes from today's call. I send out the notes every week on the day of the call, so you can check that. And to ask a question or to share a win, you can email me at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And a great place to be on the internet during the call is out on our Facebook group for the Sales Technology Training Program. You can click on the link in the email message or just simply type in Sales Technology Training Program. And let's see, let me pop out there real quick and let's set a goal for today's call. And let's set a goal of, let's start with 25 comments. So 25 comments will be our goal for today's call. And if you have any problems getting access to the Facebook group, feel free to send me an email at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. You can also access the membership page online where you can get access to all the recordings from the calls and additional resources. You can check out the links and the email message that I sent out. And I also streamlined the email. I made a few edits to it and shortened the text in there so that'll make it a little bit easier. Oh, and I just remembered one quick announcement. Actually, I've got two quick announcements. But one is I wanted to let you know that I have a couple of team members that are helping me out, and so you might get contacted by them at some point. Their names are Judy Garcia and Lucy Rivera, and so email from either Judy or Lucy, and I'm having them do some follow-ups with for me so I can keep on top of things. And the other thing is that I have an upcoming call next Tuesday, and I'm going to be talking about strategies to increase your revenue. And let me give you the details on that real quick. The website address, by the way, for that is going to be on at socialmediaoutcomes.com/new revenue. socialmediaoutcomes.com/new revenue. And the topic is 7 ways to create new revenue in your business, and that's going to be on Tuesday, December 2nd at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, which is 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Again, the website address is socialmediaoutcomes.com/new revenue. If you missed that call for whatever reason, you can still go out there and register, and you'll be able to get access to a recording from the webinar that I'm doing. All right. The Sales Technology Training Program is a 12-week program that's designed to help you implement systems to generate leads and earn sales. We focus a lot on strategies to increase the number of appointments that you have also. And this is all about looking for ways to leverage technology tools in your business to be able to accomplish more. Leverage is all about doing more with less. And so if you have a system that you can use, an online system, then it's going to save you time, energy, and effort. And part of the challenge for any kind of technology system is just figuring out how to utilize it on a regular basis. I've been doing a lot lately in terms of email marketing. And so there's a certain amount of time, energy, and effort that's involved in maintaining that and being able to write email messages to send out. Another technology that I use on a regular basis is a blog. And so I've been doing a blog challenge lately for a number of my clients, helping them get into action to create content for the blog. And I've been adding a lot of new content to my blog as well, almost about 2 blog posts per week. And I encourage you to go out there and check it out if you want some inspiration and techniques and strategies related to online marketing and social media. You can go out to my website at socialmediaoutcomes.com. You can either click on the blog button at the top there or scroll down on the right-hand side and look for the categories. And I'll give you a list of about 30 different categories that I've written blog posts on, lots of content and information. And I'm going to keep on pace of adding at least 1 new blog post a week, I think, over the next year. And, it's a little bit time-consuming at times. But what's nice about it is anytime you create new content, it creates the opportunity for you to be able to reach more people online, to create value for them, and it gives you content that you can share online and create leverage as well. Speaking of creating content and leveraging that online, that leads us right into our topic for today, which is on opt-in pages. So what is an opt-in page? An opt-in page is a web page where people can go out and they can opt in to your email list. I like to call it a lead capture page, also a squeeze page or landing page. But it's essentially a web page where you share some type of a free offer, and then people can fill out the form and then opt in to your email list. So number one, you need a permission-based email marketing system. There are many different systems out there, including Constant Contact, iContact, AWeber, MailChimp, One Shopping Cart, Infusionsoft, Office Automation Pilot, GreenRope, Cooler Web, and many more. And I've used just about all of them in some capacity. And each one has its own method of operating and utilizing it. And you have to find the right system for you, something that's going to work for you. And when you find that, then you want to be utilizing it on a regular basis. You want to implement strategies that will allow people to opt in. You want to focus on strategies that will build your email list, and then you want to send out messages to your list on a regular basis. Come up with a specific formula. How many emails do you want to send out per week? And then stick to that. And if you can get into action to do that, then your email list is going to build over time. You're going to create value. You're going to have people come to you virally, meaning that they will find you online, opt into your list, and then get information. And, you know, I always come from a perspective of what can I do to add value? What information and ideas can I share? And so anytime I write an email message, at least part of that message is focused on sharing a specific idea, helping to educate my audience. And that's a great place to come from. In fact, I sent out an email on Monday to some of the folks on my email list, and the topic was on 21 reasons to create an online video. And so I sat down and I thought about what are all the different reasons why you'd want to create a video and publish that online. And by the way, that's another technology, the tool that you can use to create leverage is online videos. And all that email did was essentially just provide those 21 reasons, and that's it. And what's nice about that is, you know, that could be inspiration for someone. That could spark somebody's desire to want to go out there and create videos. And so I'm always looking for ways that I can inspire and motivate people. I've been really excited lately with the blog challenge, seeing people get into action and create content for their blog. Because in my experience, what happens a lot of times is that people get stuck. They get stuck and they don't know what to do. Or something's holding them back. They hit a block. Maybe it's writer's block. But there's some kind of obstacle that's holding them back from moving forward. And so when you can get into action and start moving forward, then things start progressing. And part of building your part of leveraging sales technology tools is to be, number one, comfortable utilizing those tools, mastering them, practicing them on a regular basis so that you know how to use them, documenting procedures so you know how to use those technology tools, setting goals, you know, having goals in terms of how often that you want to use them and what results that you want to get from them. So when it comes to creating an opt-in page, there's a couple things you're going to need. As I mentioned, you need an email marketing system, and that should give you the opportunity to create a web form. And when you can create a web form, essentially, that will give you the HTML code that you can copy and paste and put onto your web page where people can go and opt in. So think about what, first of all, let me take you through a step-by-step process here. What are you going to offer on your opt-in page that would encourage someone to want to opt in? So, you know, why have people opt in at all? Well, the reason is that it's going to help you to build your list. And what's nice about it is when you have an opt-in page and you're sharing some kind of a free offer that people are interested in, typically the people you're going to attract are the people who are interested in that topic. And I'll give you an example here, something to kind of bring this to life for you. I've created many different lead generation systems online over the years. A couple years ago, I wrote a free report called 10 Ways to Monetize Social Media. So my goal was to create some kind of a value-added free offer around social media. And I knew if I created that and I put it out there and I shared it, that people would be interested in it and they would want to go and opt in. So number one, create something that has a high value for your audience that's going to attract people to you. And by the way, you can also just go out to the existing people that you know and encourage them to go opt in as well. People can fill out a form on a lead capture page even if they're already on your list. Now, in some cases, some of the systems, it works a little bit differently in terms of how it handles that opt-in request if it's somebody who's already on your list. But many systems will allow people to opt in again, fill out the form, opt in, and then receive whatever it is that you're offering. So it's about implementing the steps in the technology system. And there are multiple components to it. So if you want to see this in practice, number one, let me give you the link where you can go out to get access to the report I mentioned a few minutes ago, 10 Ways to Monetize Social Media. You can go out to my website at socialmediaoutcomes.com/10ways. And I'll go ahead and post the link out in the Facebook page. Actually, let's see here. Out in the Facebook group. Let's see here. Socialmediaoutcomes.com/10ways. I'll just say example opt-in page. Okay, perfect. Socialmediaoutcomes.com/10ways. You can go check that out. So first of all, you need the actual web page itself. I host my web pages on WordPress. WordPress is a standard these days for creating websites. And so you can create your website, and then you can see that's the first piece, or one of the pieces that you need a web page for it. Secondly, you need a free offer. So you need something to put up onto your lead capture page to encourage somebody to opt in. Number three, you need a success page. Once somebody opts in, you want to be able to redirect them to a success page. And then number four, you need an autoresponder message to go out after somebody opts in. And so once they opt in, they fill out the form, it takes them to a success page, and then it automatically sends them an email message to confirm that you received their request and providing details on how to get access to that free resource. Now, where should you put your opt-in page? Well, there's a couple places you could put it. One, you could put it onto your website. Another place you could put it is onto a standalone web page. So you could create a standalone web page on the internet, and that would give you a way for you to be able to send people out to it. So it could be something like, you know, freemoney.com. And then you just say, go to freemoney.com to get my free report on whatever topic. And by the way, what kind of free offers can you have? You can use a free report. You could use a free audio program. You could use a free video. You could create some kind of a hybrid or a combination. You could create a checklist. There's all sorts of things you can do where you can create a written document and then turn it into a PDF file. PDF file is an Adobe Acrobat document that makes it easy for people to open, read, and print documents. And it's just a matter of coming up with something that's interesting and compelling that would encourage people to opt in. I've heard of some people who have created a virtual Rolodex where they provide a list of contacts and they make that available to people who opt in. So there's all sorts of ideas. You just have to be creative in coming up with something that has value and would encourage someone to want to opt in. Now, there are other ways that you can have people opt in. You can also use pop-up ads, pop-behind ads, and just the standalone opt-in box on a website or blog. Each one of those has its advantages and its disadvantages. With just a standalone opt-in form on a web page, the advantage is it will often show up on multiple web pages. And so as people go through your site, they'll see that opt-in box, and it might encourage them to want to get that free resource. On the other hand, typically, you're not going to include that much information to describe it. So it's hard to compel someone to want to take action when you have very limited copy, very limited words that you can put on there. you with a pop-up ad, those can be distracting and annoying. Probably 99% of the time when I encounter a pop-up ad, I just click on the X in the corner and difficult to make it difficult and don't give you an X where you can get rid of it, and I have to end up closing out my whole browser going in and to the task bar and shutting down the whole browser so I can get out of that whole mess. So generally it's more annoying than otherwise, because you hadn't really intended to go there and get that, but now it's in your way. And then a pop behind ad is where it will pop up a window that's not visible until you close out your browser or minimize it on the screen, and then suddenly you see this ad, or you're toggling around on your screen and then you see this little ad that appears. That can be kind of distracting, because it could be like an hour or two later after you visited a website, and then you might come across this and say, well, what is this? Why is this on my screen? And so it's not expected, and so there are disadvantages to those. But I see that I see it more and more, especially on a lot of high-profile blogs and websites, that they're utilizing pop-up ads as a way to build their list. So I don't want to necessarily say that it's not a good strategy. I think based on the fact that I've seen it implemented all over the place, that it's certainly it's an effective strategy. But I think it's something you have to decide for yourself whether you want to utilize it. Now, with an opt-in page, what's nice about it is when people go there, typically they know what they're getting into. They chose to click and visit this page. And so they come to this page, and it presents them with an offer or an opportunity, something for free that they can take advantage of. And so it's not like suddenly a surprise, or it's not just like there in the background that they weren't even thinking about. It's something where they came to this page probably because they heard about it and they wanted to get it. So I think there's a higher conversion rate on people who visit an opt-in page versus some other method of opting in. Now, let me share with you six ways that you can get people out to your opt-in page. So remember, this is a sales technology tool you can implement. This is a way of generating leads online. Eric Laufholm talks about the concept of generating unlimited leads. You want to have multiple strategies to find leads. And in some cases, those are people who are seeking you out, like someone who calls on the phone or a referral that's made to you. But it could also be strategies like picking up the yellow pages and looking through for businesses, or searching for a list online of people that you can contact cold. But I think what's nice about an opt-in page is that the people who are opting in, filling out that form, they have some type of interest in what it is that you're offering, and they're providing their contact information. And now that gives you a means and a method to follow up, and now you have a basis for conversation. So that can be a very, very effective strategy. And by the way, should you have people provide their phone number? Well, sure. If you have an intention to pick up the phone and call them, that's the best practice, is to ask for a phone number, and that's what I usually do on my pages as well. All right, six ways to get traffic to your opt-in page. Number one, blog. You can post a link out onto your blog that goes to your opt-in page. Number two, social media. This is a strategy I implement all the time. I share opportunities through Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn to go get access to one of my free offers on an opt-in page. And so periodically I'll just put the request out there, include the link to the free offer, and then I'll have people click and then go out and opt in. Another technique is to utilize joint venture partners. You could go out to a joint venture partner and ask them to send a message or to post a message or to post on social media and share something, and that can drive traffic. Another technique is for social bookmarking. Social bookmarking is a process of utilizing social bookmarking sites like Delicious and Tumblr and other sites to be able to share a link back to your web pages, your website. And so you could create a social bookmark that links to your opt-in page. You can also use Craigslist and other websites. And I'll give you a simple strategy for Craigslist. Let's say that you want to host an event. You want to do a teleseminar. So you create an event registration page on your website, and you put an opt-in form on that website, on that webpage. And then you create a Craigslist ad, and then you post it in the section under classes, and then you invite people to attend your class. And then people click on the link, and they go out and they register for your class, for your free teleseminar, for instance. What's nice about that is that, number one, it's free to advertise on Craigslist like that. There's no money for it to advertise a free event. And you'll get traffic. You'll get people coming across, looking through Craigslist, seeing that, and then clicking and then going and registering for your event. And certainly there are many other websites that are out there like Craigslist where you can post events. They might say, well, you know, is an event a free offer? Sure. If it's free, absolutely. So an event, a free teleseminar, a free webinar, something like that, is another strategy that you can implement in addition to sharing a free report as an offer, a free audio, a free video. You can do a free class. And then finally, event marketing, which is related to what I just shared with you as well. So other types of events that you might host, like a live event, for instance, a seminar or a workshop. Now, what kind of graphics should you add to an opt-in page? When you're implementing strategies online, you have a couple different components. You have copy. Copy words refers to words that are persuasive and influential. You have content. Content is information that adds value. And then you also have graphics. So essentially, it kind of boils down to words and graphics. Words on the page and graphics on the page. So on an opt-in page, if you click on the link that I shared earlier to the free report on 10 ways to monetize social media, which is out at socialmediaoutcomes.com/10ways, then you'll see a couple graphics there. One, you'll see a banner at the top of the page, a banner or a header. And in that banner, I have a picture of myself, I have a title of the report. And so what that does is when people land on the page, it immediately brands me. If people are coming from elsewhere, if people don't know who I am, then it gives an immediate experience. They see my picture, they see my name, they see what I have to offer. And so that creates a memorable opportunity because you want to get people connected with you personally. Many of my clients are coaches, speakers, trainers, and consultants. They're people who typically have a message they want to share with the world. And so when you're reaching out with other people, you want to personally brand yourself. You want people to connect with you and your message. So by creating a graphic header at the top, it gives something where people can immediately get connected to who you are. Another graphic that I have on the page is a picture of an ebook. So for free reports, I use an ebook image, which kind of looks like a real book, except it's, you know, a virtual version of it. And so it has the title across it. It might have the title down the spine of the little virtual image. And it's something that makes your free offer more tangible. So when we're dealing with things that are virtual, it's all kind of in your mind. I mean, you can obviously go and opt in and download it and you can read it. But before people, you know, are able to get a hold of it, you want something which creates more desire and something that makes it more tangible, like this is a real thing. And so when they see an image, then they go, oh, I want that. Because we, you know, we have a fixation on objects, on things. And if you're just describing something without having a picture for it, then it leaves something to be desired. And part of the process of marketing, part of the process of encouraging people to opt in this case is that you want to create desire. You want people to want what it is that you're offering. And so when they see an image, they go, ooh, that's interesting. I can get this for free. Cool. You know, people love free things. And so you want them to be excited about going and getting that. And so there's getting it done. There's quick and dirty, just like setting something up. And then there's optimizing. There's best practices. And there are tools that you can use or software that you can use to create opt-in pages online so that they will look more professional. So if you just go out and try to create something on your website and look at it and then you compare it to what I've created on my site, you're probably going to go, oh, mine doesn't look like yours. How do I get mine to look like yours? Well, you know, have the proper software, hire a graphic designer to create graphics, and now you're starting to approach that. So that's all about best practices. But sometimes you just need to get things done quick and dirty, get something implemented, and then you can move forward and optimize it from there. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to switch gears and pop out over to the Facebook page and read your questions and comments and responses there. It looks like we're already up to 27, so it looks like Roy and Susan have been busy on the call today, so let me pop out there. Let's see, had a couple comments about snow. Susan says, I was not planning to be here, but I had to cancel my dentist appointment because I got sick last night. Ooh, sorry to hear that. Feeling a little better, so I think it must have been something I ate rather than the flu. Yikes. Roy says, maybe you're allergic to the dentist. Roy says, actually, my brother and sister-in-law have the flu, too, come to think of it. Ah, yeah, I had my flu shot a couple of weeks ago. I haven't had a flu shot in years, and I get feedback from people one way or another to do it, not to do it, and I just figured I'd do it this year. And it didn't really have much of an effect on me. I didn't really, I maybe felt tired for a couple days, but didn't have any problems. So, Susan says, our snow looks like it's only about a half an inch, but I haven't really been outside since Sunday, so I'm only seeing a second full window. Too cold to go outside unless I need to. California here, we've been having a little bit of rain lately, so that's good. I think we're far short of our goal since we've been in drought conditions, but happy to see it. Roy says, FYI, Rick, your Google Analytics ID seems to be displaying in the upper left corner of that link. Might be a glitch somewhere. No, I think when I added it to the page, it gives, or when I created it, it gave me an option to display in the upper portion of the screen or in the footer, and I just happen to select the upper corner, and I actually need to go fix it. I don't think my Google Analytics is working properly. I've got to go double check that, but yeah, it just kind of gives me a reminder I need to work on that. I've been working on a few website things lately. Roy says, an opt-in page is a web page where people can opt in to your email list, aka landing page, squeeze page. Roy said, prerequisites for an opt-in page include email autoresponder service. And technically, you don't even need the email autoresponder. It's just a best practice. Here's the thing. When people, so different email marketing systems have different capabilities, and some of them can get a little bit funky. Like some, I think for AWeber, when people opt in, if they've already opted into a list before, you have to make sure there's a place where you can say, if they've opted in before, then send them to this web page. So you have to see what options are available for the system that you're using. But it's good to have the email autoresponder to go out. I like referring to it as kind of a fail-safe method. Because here's the thing, when people are going around the internet all the time, and they'll go to a page, and I've been to pages too, where I opted in for something and, you know, I was in a rush, I didn't have a chance to download it, and then later I'm going out to my email going, oh, where's that thing that I opted in for? Let me go check that. You know, and oftentimes you get a confirmation email first, you have to go click on the link, and then that will trigger the email to go out, and then you get the success email. So there's all sorts of little things that are going on there. But, one of the benefits of an autoresponder is that it helps to automate the process. That's the auto part of a responder. It's an automated means of communication. So when somebody opts in, you can have an email or multiple emails go out over time. Susan says, must have an opt-in email system, preferably with an autoresponder service. Yeah, absolutely. If you're still using, if you're using Yahoo Mail or Hotmail or Gmail, to do your email marketing, not a good idea. You're probably not in compliance with the CAN Spam Act, which means that you could run into problems. Plus, there are even new or even more regulations in place now that Canada has upgraded its spam laws. So those are things to watch out for. Let's see. Roy says, offer value as an incentive for visitors to opt in. Yeah, absolutely. It comes down to offering value. You have to have something that people want. And this isn't necessarily an easy thing. I think this is one of the reasons why people get stuck and they don't implement, is because they can't seem to come up with the perfect idea. They're like, oh, I've got three ideas, but I don't know which one is going to be the best. And they just get stuck right there, not getting their free offer created. So if you can get into action and create something, then you can create an opt-in page. And then once you've created one, you can go and create a second and a third and keep going. So Jay Abraham says you need multiple lead generation systems. Eric Laflamme says you need at least 10 online lead generation systems, and until you have 10 done, keep going. So I'm a big fan of that. I've created probably literally hundreds of lead capture pages when you count up all the different events that I've done on top of, you know, free reports and free audios and free videos and things like that. So, you know, it takes a bit of effort to create something that will consistently create a stream of leads coming in. And by the way, you know, this is not build it and they will come. This is build it and then drive traffic to it. So if you've created an opt-in page and you're not getting any opt-ins, you might have to start looking for some strategies like using Google AdWords or using Facebook ads as a way to drive traffic to it. If the free methods are not working, it may be time to pay to start generating some leads. Roy said your email service lets you generate a web form for capturing opt-in contact info. Yeah, it'll, you know, it may have a multi-step process, like three or four steps, and then at the last step in the process, it gives you the HTML code. MailChimp is probably one of the most complicated systems for creating web forms. I always get confused when I go through that system. It seems like there's 20 different options that you have to go through and figure out. And so it can be a little bit frustrating to get the web form created. And so what I recommend is whatever your process is, whatever system you're using, document that process so that you can go back and do it again. Because if you have a long, complicated process, you don't want to have to try to figure it out every time. That's called a waste of time. So a best practice is to document your procedure in writing. And if you forget how to do it, then you can go back through and walk through the steps. If you do it often enough, then it's likely that you'll remember it. If you do it occasionally, then you'll probably forget. Roy said you also need a web page where you can host your opt-in form. Definitely. And he says you need an offer. Right. You need your free offer that you can encourage people to opt in for. Roy says you need a follow-up success page. Yeah, I call it a success page or a thank you page or a confirmation page. It's basically a web page where you can say, here you go. And so after people opt in, they fill out the form, then it takes them to the web page. Roy says, finally, you need a follow-up autoresponder message. Susan says, that's an idea sequence that you've laid out, but it is possible to have people opt in without all that. You can use a service like Lead Pages and send people to an unlisted video on YouTube or give them a code or link to download a free Kindle book without even needing a website. Yeah, you don't necessarily have to have the a website to do it. There are other services that you can use online. Yeah, leadpages.net allows you to create squeeze pages or lead capture pages online or opt-in pages for that purpose. And you can host those resources out on other sites, like Susan says, an unlisted video on YouTube, so you don't have to drive to your own website. Roy said, use multiple strategies to find leads. Definitely. You don't want to be just dependent on one method for finding leads. And you need more leads in your business. You need to keep growing your list of leads. If you don't do anything to grow your list of leads, your leads are probably going to shrink over time. Certainly your email list will shrink over time. Each email you send out, there's the potential that somebody may read click on the unsubscribe button and then be off your list. And so your list, you know, if you're actively working your list, if you're actively sending out email messages, your list will probably be shrinking over time. So you have to bolster your list and have methods for people to opt into your list. Susan said, boy, I saw a bad example like that today. I clicked through from an email and was watching a sales video on a sales page, and then a pop-up opt-in form covered most of the sales video, which kept playing, to download a free report. I filled in my name and email, but their submit button wasn't working. so I couldn't submit my opt-in to reveal the sales video. I finally just closed the whole page, so they lost the opt-in and the potential sale. Yeah, you know, sometimes you find situations like that where you're going to a site and you're like, oh, cool, this looks great. And then suddenly this pop-up box appears and you're like, how do I get rid of this thing? And, you know, in most cases it's easy. They often put an X in there, but sometimes it's not so easy. So it can be a little bit frustrating. Roy said, drive traffic with techniques such as blog posts, JV partners, social bookmarking, etc. Absolutely, yeah, and social media also. Roy says, use a header or banner to brand your page. Yes, part of that process, again, is understanding like what size header you need and how to put a header on top of a web page. And again, that could be something as simple as just embedding an image onto the page, but if you're using specialized tools for creating opt-in pages, then there may be a specific place where you have to copy a link in that links to the image. You upload the image and then put it into a place in the software, and that will cause the image to appear on the page. So again, you know, sometimes some of these tools are a little bit complicated. If you have problems implementing strategies like that, then seek out somebody who can help you out. There are plenty of people out there that can help you to implement. I support a lot of clients and help them with different technology tools. I build WordPress sites for clients. I create lead capture pages. I do event marketing for clients. So certainly there are people out there who can help. So you don't have to be the technology guru. You just need to be able to delegate to somebody who can get it done for you. Susan said, autoresponders sure make things easier, but if you're starting with a free service like MailChimp, then you might have to do things more manually to begin with. Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes when people are getting started, they may not have all the tools that are available. So you sign up for a service and you go, okay, this is free. Let me see what I get. And then you realize, oh, I can't do an autoresponder. So what does that mean? Well, that means now, after people opt in, you might be getting an email, and now you have to manually email people out or manually send out an email to people with a link to their free resource. So I've done a lot of manual stuff in the past. I still do some manual work in my business these days. Sometimes I'll send out an email, and I'll ask people to I might say something like, I'm offering a free marketing strategy session for the first 10 people to respond. If you'd like to schedule a session with me, then send me an email at rick@socialmediaoutcomes.com. And then I get a flood of email messages with people wanting to schedule an appointment with me. And then I will reply back, and I will send them a link to my Timetrade account where they can go schedule an appointment. So that would be an example where I use a manual process to assist in the efforts. And I talk about strategies like that later on in the sales technology program series here. So we'll get into techniques and why I do some manual strategies like that. But the idea here is that as much as possible, you want to try to automate things because that's going to save you time, energy, and effort. All right, let me share a few more ideas, and then I'll go pop back out and read some more messages here. Let's see, one moment. Okay, what are some – oh, here's a good one. When should you use a video on an opt-in page? Well, first of all, some people are big fans of using video in their online marketing. A lot of internet marketers use video. And I think one of the reasons is that video helps to build trust and rapport. And so for somebody who might be – you know, if the marketer is doing a lot of paid advertising online, and so people are clicking on an ad within Google and then going out to a web page, number one, there's really no trust and rapport at that point. And so if you're sending people to a web page that only has copy, then there's nothing really allowing you to connect individually with the audience. And so I think the thinking there is if you have a short video, maybe 30 seconds to a minute, and you talk to your audience for that time, then they can get connected with you personally. This goes back to the concept of personal branding. You want to get people connected to your message. And so they, if they see you on camera, if they hear you talking, then suddenly they're going to feel more compelled to want to opt in. because they feel like you're a credible person. Because there's a lot of stuff on the internet that, you know, is probably less than credible. And so people are a little bit jaded. And when they go to a website, they don't know who you are. Because, you know, one of the aspects of an opt-in page is that there are no other links to other places on your website. So when you set up an opt-in page, by nature, they don't really have a chance to get a whole sense of who you are. You're really trying to get a lead as quickly as possible. You recognize that people have a short period of time to go out to the site and then opt in, and so you want to take advantage of that opportunity and have them opt in, and now they can get access to that resource. So a video can be a great way to build trust and rapport and then lead people to opt in. So that's something to think about. What are some other best practices for opt-in pages? Well, certainly having a great format is helpful. So again, if you're using specialized software to create an opt-in page, it's going to allow you to format that page so it looks professional. Because, you know, let's face it, if you're just trying to create a web page and you go out there, you take a look at that web page, in a lot of cases it doesn't look very professional. You know, if you just try creating it within WordPress, it's not really, when you publish it onto the site, it's not going to look optimal. For one, oftentimes what happens is you're going to end up with whatever is your normal header on your website plus all of your navigation. And so if you give people an option to click on a bunch of links, then they're going to click and go away. And then you lose your opportunity for them to opt in. That's why it's called a squeeze page. You're squeezing the contact information out of them. If they want more information, they're going to have to opt in. So so it has a lot to do with the software, having tools which allow you to create a good-looking headline, that have you create a good-looking opt-in box. I think another great best practice is to include your photo in your bio. Even if you have a video on there, it's a good idea to tell people who you are and tell them about your experience. Like, why should they trust you? You know, what experience do you have that would make you an expert on this particular topic, for instance? Now, let's talk a little bit about, I want to share a great technique with you that will help you to encourage more people to opt into your events. And it's a technique that uses social media, and in particular uses Facebook. Facebook gives you an opportunity to create an event. You can go into Facebook, you can create an event, and there's a couple different ways, actually three different ways you can do this. You can create an event just off of the homepage of Facebook, in which case that event is tied to your personal account. Or you can go to a Facebook business page and then go to the events tab and then create an event, and then that event will be linked to your business page. Or you can go into a Facebook group and then you can create a Facebook event, and then that event will be tied to the group. And there are advantages and disadvantages for all of those. One of the advantages with setting it up on your business page is that gives more traffic to your business page, because that's the event page there is part of your particular business page. So you want to be doing things on your business page from time to time, and that's going to attract more people in. If you do it on a group, then number one, only the moderator or the organizer for a Facebook group can create an event there. But you can create an event, and then you can invite the people from the group to it automatically. This is a strategy I use with the sales technology program. So you may have noticed that oftentimes, maybe the day before or the day of the sales technology training call, you get a notification through Facebook or through email through Facebook that you've been invited to an event. And then you can click if you want to join the event. I use that as a way of keeping that message out in front of people and letting them know that the call is coming up. Now, when you set up an event, there's a couple different components to it. You can set up you can add a title, you can add a description for the event, There's a place where you can mention the location of the event. I also use that, like if I have a webinar, for instance, I'll put the webinar link right in that location. And so that gives them a way to click right on the link, and that takes them out to the page to register. Then you also set up the date and the time of the event, and they've also added in the capability to be able to select a type of event. Like I always select a class. My events are classes. And so I select that, and that puts it into a category within Facebook. Now, there's a couple different ways that you can invite people. So if you set up a Facebook event on your personal page or your business page, then you can go in and you can select friends, Facebook friends, to invite to the event. So you can only invite your Facebook friends. You can't invite people who have simply liked your business page. So one of the strategies that I recommend around Facebook is to create lists. So create a list and then add people to the list. And then when you go into the event, you have an opportunity to select a list, and then you can go through and then select the people on that list that you want to invite. So rather than having to, say, look through 1,000 people on Facebook and think about who you want to invite one by one, you can let the groups decide that for you. You add, or not groups, but you create your lists and then say, okay, well, I'm going to add everybody from this list. Facebook recently made this process a little bit easier. In the past, you had to go through and click on the checkbox one by one. Check, 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 check. But Facebook went in and they decided to create a select all button. So this is actually a good improvement that they've made to the whole event marketing function. So now, instead of having to go check, 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 you just click select all. Now, you are limited right now to be able to invite only up to 500 of your friends. In the past, you were able to invite more people. There were a couple times that I invited all of my friends, which right now are over 4,100 people, and that's not a good thing either, because I actually ended up getting a message from Facebook saying you've invited too many friends that did not attend your event, so for a period of time, you're not going to be able to invite anybody. So I'm kind of glad they have that ceiling on it now, to where you can only invite 500 people. It kind of levels the playing field. So it allows you to be more selective. It causes you to be more selective in figuring out who you want to invite, rather than just go kind of blasting everybody. So I think it's a good thing. And Facebook keeps on putting limits and controls in place because they don't want the system to be abused. All right, let me pop back out into the Facebook group. We'll go ahead and read off the final comments, and then we'll go ahead and wrap up the call for today. And it looks like we're up to 33 comments. Great job. Okay, let's see. Susan says, yes, video helps people connect with you, but also many people will be more likely to watch a video than to read the copy on an opt-in page, even if it's a small amount of copy. Yeah. That's a lot of people. Typically, I often avoid videos. Unless it's an informational video that I'm searching for a how-to, I'd rather just read it. I can read copy faster than I can watch a video. And oftentimes, I'm not so much worried about it on like an opt-in page, because usually those are short videos. But I've gone to watch, I get a lot of emails from a lot of internet marketers. And so they'll say, hey, go watch this video. I go watch the video, and I'm thinking it's going to take 5 minutes. Half an hour later, I'm still going. You know, the video is still going. And so that can be frustrating to me, because I can look at 1,000 words of copy in about 1 minute. I can scan through and look at the words that are going to grab my attention. I can decide whether this appeals to me or not, whereas with, say, a long video, then I'm stuck having to just sit and watch the video. I don't know when it's going to end. I don't know what's going to happen. And so, because oftentimes they disable the controls. So that's an issue there. But yeah, on an opt-in page, the videos like that are not too bad. But I think in today's age, a lot of people are getting lazy. They don't want to read. They would rather just sit and watch a video. We're all trained to watch the TV. So, video is an extension of that. Susan said, I always thought the squeeze was because there's nothing else for people to do on that page except to opt in. Yeah, that same concept. You're squeezing the contact information out of them because that's the only option. You're not presenting them with 10 options where they can click and go visit different websites. All they can do is opt in. Susan said, when you create an event from a Facebook business page, is there a way to send out invitations like you can on a personal page? Yeah, absolutely. It has that function there. You have to make sure, I think on the business page, you have to first join the event before you can invite people. So if you haven't clicked to join the event, it's not going to present you with the options to invite people. So check into that. Roy said, create Facebook lists to segment your invitations. Yeah, absolutely. And so you could just create one list, for instance, for invitations, or you could segment it even further. Like I have groups that I've set up for coaches, for speakers. So I kind of segment by profession. Susan said, I think you just answered my question. So do you suggest that everyone who likes your business page, you should also get them to friend your personal profile so you can invite them to events? Well, here's the risk. I've tried friending people who have liked my business page, and for whatever reason, I found in a lot of cases they don't approve the request. So number one, whenever you're inviting people to be your friend, I recommend that you track your requests. I have a spreadsheet that I have set up. Anytime I click on the button to add friend, I will copy and paste their name and the website address to their Facebook page, their personal page, into that spreadsheet along with the date. And then I monitor that. I go back a couple days later, and I check to see if they approve my request. If they don't approve it within about 3 days, I cancel the request. There's a place on Facebook where you can go onto their personal page, and you can click on the button where it has, you know, so it'll say like friend request submitted or something like that. Then you just click on that button, and it will give you an option to cancel the friend request. You can always go back and invite them again. You know, sometimes people are just busy with things, and they don't see it. So I've tried going back and inviting people a couple times, and you know, some people are just like not on it. They're not paying attention, and so they're not really monitoring it. And so be careful about that. If you do just go and try to add somebody as a friend, then make sure that you monitor that. The other thing is anybody I go to add as a friend, I always do a little bit of due diligence, and I click around their profile. I'm paying attention to a couple things. I want to see, you know, do they list anything about their, you know, where they live, what their job is or their business? Do they have, you know, like personal profile photos on there? Do they have posts that I can see? Now, not everybody, see, if you're not friends with somebody, then you only have visibility to what they're sharing with the public. And some people don't share much with the public. So sometimes I've added people and then one nice thing is I'll go back maybe a couple weeks later and then I'll see what's on their page. Like I'll go through and really do kind of an audit on their page and see what they posted and then really kind of get a sense of who they are, because you'll get access to more information after they approve your request. And if there's somebody I want to be connected to, great. If not, then I might just unfriend them, you know, and say, well, this is not really a relationship that I want to continue. I'm just going to unfriend this person. So I've had that happen too. So that happens sometimes with your business page. Sometimes you attract quality people, sometimes not so much. All right, that's the end of the comments and the end of the call for today. So let's go ahead and wrap up. As we're closing out here, I want you to think about what lead generation systems do you want to implement in your business over the next 90 days? Do you need to create a new opt-in page? What are the steps going to be involved in creating that? Where should you start? Might start with just simply creating a free offer. I mean, before you even have to worry about creating a web page, why not figure out something that you can create that you could share with people? I go through this periodically. I go through this process and I figure out, well, what do I have? You know, what information do I know that I could teach people? What can I share with people? What are people interested in learning? And I'll create the free offer. And then once the free offer is created, or even before it's not even, you know, before it's even finished, I'll start working on the web page and I'll get that set up. And then I'll pull all the pieces together, and then it's done. So if you've never been through this process before, then I encourage you to take it as a challenge. Take it as something that you can attempt that's going to help you to build your business. On that note, we're going to close out the call today. So thanks for joining me. Have a great week, and God bless.